Evening service. We trust the Lord will bless you as you've come into our midst tonight. Just re-emphasizing the restrictions. I know you're all very good with these, and I don't really need to re-emphasize it, but just to say that we do have the social distancing when entering and exiting the building, and even in the hall, it's even more important. The men at the doors there will try to tell you when to go out at the end so that you know when to leave. So that we're not having a rush out at the end of the service. So you'll bear with us on that one. And also the offering baskets as you leave, just if you want to contribute to the offering, they're out there as you leave the building tonight. This is our Missionary Council Sunday, so all offerings for this must be marked for the Missionary Council, or just missionary work, whatever way you put it on it, and put in the baskets. Could I mention also the Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock? And we're continuing our survey of the New Testament, continuing this week. We would emphasize the prayer meeting. If you can make it, if it's safe for you to come, then do join us in the church on Wednesday evenings. All other meetings and activities are being kept under a constant review, and you'll appreciate the need for us to do that. Next Lord's Day is our Missionary Sunday. In the morning time, we're focusing on Uganda. Reverend David McMillan will be the preacher. He will be showing us something of the work, speaking of the work in Uganda. And in the evening time here in the hall, focus on children's work in Scotland with Mr. and Mrs. Snodgrass from our Londonderry Church, who are going to serve the Lord in the land of Scotland in days to come. So remember that, please, next Lord's Day. And there will be retiring baskets marked at the doors so that you can give towards those offerings for Uganda in the morning and our brother and sister in the evening. Mrs. Carla Hunter is the singer. I would normally call her Carla Gregg, but she's changed her name because she's now married, and she's Carla Hunter. She will be with us to sing in the gospel next Sunday night. The pre-church prayer meeting will resume prior to the evening service next Lord's Day, and do please remember that. That will be upstairs in the youth room at the end of the corridor, if you can make it up there. That's 6:20 to 6:45, so it gives people time to get down, to get seated in here, and it's important that we try to get some of these meetings started again. The annual church report for 2019 has been delayed, of course, because of COVID and all this. It will be available as you leave the services next Lord's Day. Many have been asking about the front of the church, why it hasn't been done, and why the work hasn't been done well. Why has anything not been done during this period? And to be patient with us, it is booked for this week to commence that work, so we're hoping that that will go ahead. We trusted you to remember that as well. Now we're going to have a hymn now, and as this hymn goes up, we're not singing it. We'll sing a few verses at the end of a hymn, just being seated and singing moderately. We'll do that as we did this morning, but we're just keeping seated, and Robert will play this hymn for us. Thank you. Thank you. bow together in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We do thank thee that we're privileged to be able to come before thy throne of grace and prayer. We thank thee, O God, that we can seek your face tonight. We thank thee we can come in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we come to thee tonight, we pray for thy presence and thy help. We pray for thy grace that is sufficient for us. We ask, O God, that thou wilt meet us at the point of our need tonight in this service. We pray that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon this meeting. We pray for help for thy servant who will sing the gospel, that thou wilt anoint her and use her and equip her tonight as she sings her messages in song. We pray that there may be messages from the Lord for each heart, even here tonight. We pray for thy presence, that thou wilt draw near, that thou wilt give that comfort and give that grace even to each person that's gathered with us tonight. You know the need of each individual. You know, O God, those who have burdens and cares and troubles, O God, we pray that thou wilt meet those needs tonight, that thou wilt give that grace and that comfort to each one at this time. We pray, Father, for those who cannot be with us, those who are shielding, or those, O God, who are waiting on surgery, those, O God, who are just still too afraid to come out to the house of God. We pray if there are among some complacency or just indifference about coming out again, and we pray that thou wilt stir their hearts, give them that interest to come again to the house of God, and that thou wilt meet with each individual. We pray for those who are not saved tonight. We pray even in this meeting that thou wilt speak to hearts, that thou wilt deal with men and women, and Lord, boys and girls, that thou wilt show them their need, that thou wilt bring them to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray across our land tonight that there may be the moving of thy Spirit in our congregations, and we might hear the news of those that have come to Christ as a result of the preaching of thy holy word. Hear us, Lord, we pray, and answer prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to ask Natasha to come bring her first message in song just now, please. Thank you. Natasha, for that ministry, may the Lord bless administering song to all of our hearts. We're reading together from the fourth chapter of John's Gospel. The fourth chapter of John's Gospel. We're in this chapter, the Gospel of John, during these Sunday evenings, and the miracles of Christ. And we're looking here at the fourth chapter of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 4, reading from verse 43. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 43. Now after 2 days he departed, that is Jesus, thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. And inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. We'll come to a second hymn, just again remaining seated as Robert plays it through. A well-known hymn, Would You Be Free From Your Burden of Sin? There's power in the blood. I know you'll have difficulty not singing it, but we'll try and not do that for now. 286, just remaining seated as Robert plays through this hymn. I omitted to mention this morning and again tonight that Mr. Andrew Murray, who's been our assistant, is now finished with us. He was with us on Wednesday night. He received a call from our Dara congregation on Tuesday night to be the minister. So he was graduated on Monday night. I think it's a bit of a record. And he got a call on Tuesday night. Some people suggested, if you're retiring, I don't know whether they were giving me a hint, if you're retiring, you could get a call here. Well, you mightn't have too long to wait till the minister retires, so just hold on a little bit. But anyway, do pray for him that the Lord's hand will be upon him as he considers this call and has to answer before our presbytery. If you wanted to contribute towards the offering, towards our brother, you need to really put it in tonight if you could, and mark it for that, or get it to the treasurer tonight. Maybe that would be good if you weren't out Wednesday night, you want to contribute. And also, could I say that the sound team have kindly been trying to record our Wednesday night Bible studies, because some people can't get out with the present circumstances. We're doing a survey of the New Testament, so those would be available on CDs if you wanted them. You can order them in the usual manner. Natasha's going to come and minister again before we bring the Lord's Word tonight. Thank you.
Jesus comes. day. So men today have found their Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to us today.
Thank you, Natasha. May the Lord bless that ministry. I think you're coming to the point maybe we need to give you a wee break for a little while, but I know you're still good for next month, so you tell me. We'll just trust that the Lord's hand will be upon you. Let us bow together in prayer. We'll stand, please, for prayer, just to change your position. Thank you. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I want to draw your attention to the portion of scripture we've read from this evening. The fourth chapter of the Gospel according to John, and particularly the verses 46 to 54. The healing of the nobleman's son. This is the second miracle of eight that are recorded for us in the Gospel of John. And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ returning to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, where he had performed the first miracle that we looked at last week in John chapter 2. Here he met a certain nobleman. The word for nobleman here literally means king's man or ruler or courtier. The probability that this nobleman was an officer of Herod Antipas, the tetrarch of Galilee, who was popularly known as king, according to Matthew 14 verse 9. We think of the rulers of Scripture, in Scripture, who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You think there in John chapter 3 of the ruler who came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus. In the darkness, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God later on, the glorious light of the gospel shined into the heart of Nicodemus. And then we have the rich young ruler who came running to inquire of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And then you have Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue, who came pleading to the Lord Jesus Christ concerning his daughter in Mark chapter 5, who lay at the point of death. And now here in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, we have the record of this nobleman or this ruler who came with a request to the Lord Jesus Christ. People of all ranks in society came to Jesus and were helped by him. Poor widows came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Beggars by the wayside. It matters not what your status may be in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ can be approached by you. He is wanting to help you. He is willing to help you in your situation of life tonight. Whatever may be your circumstances, whatever may be your situation,
He is willing to step into that situation and to effect that change that you desperately need. The Bible tells us there in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He is able. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet your need tonight. The hymn writer penned those words, he is able to deliver thee, though by sin oppressed, come to him for rest. He is able to deliver thee. And I want in the closing moments of our service tonight to focus here upon these words of Scripture in John chapter 4 concerning the healing of the nobleman's son. And pray that before you leave this house tonight that you will know that spiritual healing that the Lord Jesus Christ can give to you that you desperately need tonight. There are four things that I want to outline to you from this passage of God's word tonight. First of all, the pleading of this man. You see that in verses 47 to 49. He went to the Lord Jesus and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. The nobleman wasted no time. You see his urgency here. As soon as he heard that Jesus was in the vicinity, he seized that opportunity. He hurried to come to the place where Jesus was and urged the Lord Jesus Christ and pleaded with the Lord Jesus Christ that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Further in verse 49, he said, sir, come down ere my child die. And surely this is how the work of grace begins in the hearts of men. When we are brought into a place of urgent need and all human help is failed, then we are ready and willing to turn to the Lord. And this man was ready and willing to turn to the Lord in his dire and desperate need. Maybe you've denied the Lord. Maybe you've dishonored the Lord. But when your need is great, you are driven to him that you might receive his help. You remember the prodigal son, when he had money and friends, he could ignore all thoughts of his father. It never entered his mind. But the Bible says there in Luke chapter 15, verses 17 to 20, he began to be in want. And when he began to be in want, and he came to himself, the scripture tells us, he remembered what was in his father's house. And he was ready to return to his father's house. And he was willing to return. Our journey to the Lord begins when we realize our great need of his help. Material help, physical help, but above everything else, when you feel in your heart, and perhaps you feel that tonight, your need of spiritual help. But the plea of this man to the Lord Jesus Christ received a very instant check. Jesus looked at this man and at first ignored his request and challenged the ground of his faith. Look at verse 48. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The words were also meant for the bystanders who were there at that particular time. The word ye is in the plural. Ye, referring to those around about, as well as to this nobleman. The signs and wonders underline the two chief aspects of the miracles. They were signs that suggested the spiritual aspects of the miracles. The fact that the miracles were intended to convey some deeper spiritual truth. That they proved that he who performed them was acting under the direct authority of God. And so they were signs, but they were also wonders. Wonders that drew attention to the external part of the miracles. They were designed to attract attention, to startle people by their uniqueness. The noble man was seen by Jesus as a representative of the kind of people whose faith had to be constantly bolstered by miracles. This is in contrast to the very context here in John chapter 4 to the Samaritans who believed without having their faith propped up in any sort of way. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The nobleman was obviously irritated by the response of the Lord Jesus Christ, by what seemed to him an unnecessary discussion of the niceties of faith. His boy was dying, indeed was already at the point of death, when he rushed out of his house in his desperate race with time to find only the one who could help him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to have that one challenge him and challenge the bystanders in relation to their faith was a frustration to this man. You can see the frustration he was in here. It was almost that you could hear his exasperation, his desperation in his voice. Sir, verse 49, come down ere my child die. You will notice in the first instance the Lord used the word son, or the man used the word son. But now he uses the word child, or as it is in the sense of it, my little child, my dear one. And perhaps he thought, using this terminology to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the picture of the little child would touch the very heart of Jesus. See, further in verse 47, he went unto him. He went unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And this meant for this man a 25-mile journey. He came all of this way to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ and to plead with the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do that tonight? Don't wait another moment, my friend. But get to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the Lord Jesus Christ that you need tonight. It is not the church that you need. It is not some person upon this earth you need. It is rather the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that you need in your heart and life this evening. And so we have the pleading of this man. But I want you to see, secondly, the path for this man. Look at verse 50. The Lord Jesus Christ outlined the path for this man. Go thy way. He pointed to him this pathway of faith. He said, go thy way, thy son liveth. In effect, the Lord was saying to this man, all right, let us find out whether or not you will believe without seeing. You want me to come down to Capernaum? Well, I'm not coming down to Capernaum. It's not necessary for me to come down to Capernaum. I don't have to be physically present to heal a child at the point of death. I'll stay here, right here where I am, and heal him. You go home, he says to this man. Your son lives. I have commanded death to leave him. Thy son liveth. This is the pathway of faith, my friend. Salvation is a pathway of faith. Without faith, you cannot be saved. The Bible tells you and me tonight that by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you are to be saved tonight, you must exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says to you tonight, as he said to this man whose son was sorely vexed with demons, said to the man in Scripture whose son was sorely vexed with demons, only believe. Faith. You remember the words of Paul and Silas to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And what a word that is to every sinner. Go thy way, thy son liveth. It was to this man a word of wonderful assurance. And to us too, the Lord does not have to physically be present to act on our behalf. Distance is no obstacle to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the centurion who traveled that pathway of faith? He said to the Lord, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And the Lord commended the faith of the centurion. He said, "I have not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel." Will you step out in faith tonight? Believe the word of the Savior, and the miracle of grace will be wrought in your heart tonight. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith is that vital ingredient. Even just a little faith in a great Savior, and the Lord will step in and do the miracle. People say to me, "Preacher, I have no faith, so I cannot be saved." And you're right, you don't have any faith yourself. But the Lord gives the gift of saving faith, enabling the sinner to believe to the salvation of your soul. And thank God that gift of faith is available to you tonight, and you can be saved ere you leave this building. Will you step out in the pathway of faith tonight? The pathway for this man. But I want you to see, thirdly, the proof to this man. It was not long before this ruler had his proof. Look at verses 51 to 54. As he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." And so he had proof that the Lord was worthy of his trust. He was on his way home when he saw some of his servants hurrying towards him. Evidently, they had news. I wonder, did his heart skip a beat as he went and saw those men coming towards him? Perhaps there was that doubt that surfaced in his soul at that moment. Did his heart leap within him as faith was triumphant? What news was he going to hear? Was it going to be good news? The servants came, those three blessed words, "Thy son liveth, thy son liveth." The identical words of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus had used were used by these servants concerning the healing of the son. Good news indeed. News of life instead of death. The darkness that enveloped the heart of that ruler and his home was removed, and the glorious light brought about by the intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ filled his heart and his home. What a change. And that's what happens to the individual, my friend. When the Lord Jesus Christ steps into your life, he replaces death with life. He brings life more abundant, life eternal. Now, as a matter of interest, the nobleman here, the ruler, he compared notes with his servants, verse 52. You'll notice the words, "Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. They said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." In other words, when did he start to get better? The sort of question we would ask concerning someone who's ill. When did they turn the corner? Or when did they start to improve? Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. At the very hour when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the word, "Thy son liveth," this man was healed. The Lord worked immediately. Immediately. You see, God can work immediately in your life tonight. Salvation is not something you grow into over a period of time. Salvation happens in a moment of time. It's not something brought about over a period through the works of man, but wrought instantly by God Himself in the heart of man. That's what happened here. This man was healed in a moment of time. And my dear friend, in this meeting tonight, if you're not saved, thank God you can be saved in a moment of time. In that very seat where you sit tonight, God can meet you and God can save you. It was about a 25-mile journey, as we've said. The father would have arrived home the same day. His confidence in the Lord, however, seems to have been so secure that he was in no hurry. Perhaps he was tired and hungry. Maybe he stopped for some rest and refreshment. There was no need for breakneck speed. All was well, you see. His son was healed. The Lord had done the miracle. There was the complete confirmation, the proof that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel. The miracle was done. My friend, tonight, God can do the miracle in your life, in this very meeting this evening. God can work that work of grace in you. But I want you to see not only the proof to this man, but the pronouncement about this man. You see, John notes that the nobleman believed in his whole house. Verse 53, so the father knew it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. What a work of grace was done. Previously, this man had believed the Lord's promise. But now he believed in the Lord's person. He believed in the Lord's person. He was saved. He trusted in Christ. What an impact was made upon the heart of this man and the life of this man. A wonderful change took place at that moment when he believed to the saving of his soul. Will you believe tonight to the saving of your soul? The Bible tells us of that Philippian jailer who was told by Paul and Silas to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us there in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, and those verses there in that portion of Scripture, in Acts chapter 16, the Bible tells us there, he called for a light, verse 29, and came in and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he sat meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Believing in God with all his house. What a work was done in that house. My friend, it is God's plan to save whole families. And he does it first by saving one member of that family. And through that one member, God can work in a whole household. And he has saved you, my friend, in order that through you, your loved ones may be brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that demoniac of Gadara in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5? The Lord told him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Go home to your friends. Christian, go home to your friends tonight and tell them what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. This man was brought from darkness into light. He was brought from unbelief to saving faith in Jesus Christ and his family too. What an impact was made upon this family because the Lord was pleased to say to this man, thy son liveth. And he lived. And eternal life was given to this noble man and his whole house. Dear friend, have you believed the word of Christ tonight? Have you known his salvation? The Bible says there in John chapter 5, verse 24, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You've heard the word of God tonight, maybe on many, many other occasions. Oh, that night, friend, tonight you might know what it is to believe to the saving of your soul. The Bible says, and we quoted it this morning, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Dr. Harry Ironside, as a lad, was in great trouble of soul. He had always read his Bible. He had read about angels appearing to people and speaking directly to them. Age 12, he went to his room one night and he got on his knees and he prayed and he said, "Oh Lord, I've been reading the word of God, and won't you please, when I open my eyes, have an angel standing beside me? Won't you let that angel tell me that my sins are forgiven?" He was almost afraid to open his eyes. But finally he opened them and the angel was not there. And he said, "I have never seen an angel yet all of these years. But let me tell you something. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my sins are all forgiven." "How do I know?" said Ironside. "I know it when I took him at his word. I took him at his word when I accepted his testimony. Testimony of the Lord himself." And thank God you can know tonight. You can know that your sins are forgiven. The Bible tells us there in the book of Romans chapter 10 and the verses 9 and 10. Book of Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Thank God you can know tonight. You can absolutely know that your sins are forgiven. Troubled soul, if you have said, "Oh, I wish I could know that my sins are put away, that my heart has been cleansed," let me urge you tonight to believe the word of Jesus. Just trust him tonight. Take him at his word. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Listen, even to them which believe on his name. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. First, this man believed. If Jesus could get there, he could heal the lad. Second, he believed the word of Jesus. And now he believes in Jesus. And his whole household believed in Jesus. One final word tonight. This miracle is an illustration of healing from a distance. Healing from a distance. Psalm 107, verse 20. "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions." He sent his word. That's what happened here. And this helps us, for every blessing we receive from our risen Lord comes to us from a distance. It comes to us from the very throne of God, where he is seated in glory and power, and where in his compassion and love he waits to bestow upon us the fullness of his blessing. Wherever you are at this moment tonight, God can meet you and save you. God can heal your sin-sick soul and make your wounded heart whole. What a wonderful miracle. The healing of the nobleman's son. The second miracle of the eight that is recorded by the Holy Spirit for us in the Gospel of John. May God, even tonight, even at this moment, work a miracle in your heart just now. Let us pray. Father,
We pray that thou wilt indelibly write upon every heart the truth of thy precious word. And we pray that tonight some soul or souls will come to Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to just sing moderately two verses, just as we remain seated, two verses of a hymn. Then we'll have the benediction. We'll stand for that and we'll conclude tonight. Invite you to come to Christ tonight. I'll be out there somewhere at a distance from you, but do speak with us. We're happy to speak to you tonight, show you from God's word how you can be saved. Just if you be seated after the prayer, and then the men will try to give you direction just as to when you can leave. Appreciate that. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to every heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.